Hey, everybody, welcome to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast. And coming up on this one, the Leafs were sleeping for most of the game in Philly. They lost 5-4, but then they went into Washington, played kind of a sloppy game, but they got a 7-3 win. Sheldon Keefe finally decided to healthy scratch TJ Brody. Long overdue, but where do they go from here? And we got one segment tonight, the Eagles Nest. Ka-ka. All this and more coming up on episode 202. Of the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast.
Not the best effort in Philadelphia a few nights ago. Pretty sloppy all around, but they go into Washington the next night, and what do you know? A little offensive explosion against the Capitals. I like to see that. We're going to touch on all of it and so much more. Let's hit the intro.
Hey, all, welcome to the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast. I'm Chad.
I'm Dale.
Don't forget, follow us on social media at the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Tip In Podcast on TikTok, Tip In Pod on Twitter or X. Email us, tipinpodcast@gmail.com. Dale, how's it going?
Yes, sir. Pretty good. Yourself?
It's going pretty good. Do you know what I watched today?
No.
A little Emilio Estevez documentary.
Oh, no way. Is that something new or something old?
No, I was just like in a rabbit hole on YouTube, and I wound up like on this thing. A guy did a 30-minute video just talking about
Emilio Estevez. You should send me the link to that.
Does it include the
Mighty Duck stuff?
Well, yeah, it talks about it like his movies, but it's more about life and how he didn't take his dad's name, his dad's stage name, and why he went with Estevez. And he said, I like the two E's. It looked pretty.
Does it include any talk about the flying V? That's the most important question, I think.
Well, they started to get into the flying V talk, and he was just like, not here.
Okay. Not appropriate.
No, he didn't want to talk about it.
I understand that, man. Okay. You should send me the link to that, though. Seriously.
I will. Yeah, you'd like it.
I would like to see that. All right, man. What do you got here? You got anything off the top before? I'm going to go over the Philly game. I'm going to go over the Caps game. Some thoughts and then a few other side topics, and we'll do the Eagles Nest. And, you know, maybe we'll hear from us a friend or two. We'll see how this puppy shapes up. But all right. So right to Philly then, or do you got anything else you want to say?
No, let's get into it. We've got two games to cover.
All right. Well, like basically I thought, you know, I'll get your thoughts here. I'll give you what I think, and then you let me know. We'll get your thoughts on it. Like sleeping until the third period, I thought, like, just not good at all in the first two periods of this hockey game. They looked good in the third for the most part, but they were trailing, right? So you're coming back, whatever. They end up losing at 5-4. They gave up a goal. They gave up a goal in the first 20 seconds of the game in Philadelphia. They score a goal in the first 20 seconds of the game against Washington. But anyway, what I really didn't like about the Philly game was no set anything. No D pairs, no forward lines. I know Marner's out. Okay, more on this later. But come on, man. And after the game, too, I texted you right when this fucker ended because I swear.
I just want to stop you right there. They lost 4-3.
I thought they lost 5-4 in Philadelphia.
4-3.
Okay. So, no. Are you sure about that? Check awesome. Again, because I'm pretty sure Samsonov gave up four goals.
They lost 4-3.
Okay. I thought for sure
I have the score right in front of me.
Okay. I thought for sure it was 5-4. But okay. Anyway. Well, I had a whole thing about Sammy giving up four goals in a row in a couple games, but whatever. Three goals. Okay, that's fine. Whatever. 4-3. Fair enough. Anyway, look, JT, I texted you right after the game, and I could not believe what I was hearing. I could not believe what I was watching. He's doing his post-game media scrum, and some of the first words out of John Tavares' fucking mouth, and we talked about this a few podcasts ago, he's talking about learning lessons again after this Philadelphia game. He's talking about learning again. I just was click, turn off. I don't want to hear anymore. don't want to hear any fucking more. Like, as soon as he starts going there, I am checked out immediately. Anyway, I'll get your thoughts on that. But I thought he did look better the next night in Washington. Don't get me wrong, but man, whatever. And I just thought Sheldon Keefe was throwing darts in this game. Like, the pairs up front, the D pairs up front, everything. Just, you know, we'll move to Washington, but those are my thoughts on it. What do you think? What did you think? How did it shake down in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I think you hit everything on the head. It's this thing that I don't like about this team is that they knew what they were getting into. Like, you beat Philly and Tortorella was back and he scratched the captain for the game. You knew Philly was going to be ready to go. And they're just not there. They're not ready. I never understood this Leaf team. Why, when they know what they're up against, they just can't be ready for it. That's the only thing. And the whole thing about Tavares saying that he learned a lesson, I tune it out. I completely tune it out.
How can you
know? I'm so done with it. I do not. You can't be in your prime. You can't be a Stanley Cup contender and learning lessons from losing to the Flyers. It just doesn't work that way.
No.
Marshawn come out and be like, oh, we learned a valuable lesson in this game tonight. No, he doesn't say that shit. He's just like, well, yeah, we'll get him next time.
Well, just tell the truth. Like, you don't need to sugarcoat it talking about lessons. Like, that's just absolutely ridiculous. Like, just tell the truth. We weren't good enough. Like, I just want to hear more honesty from most of these guys. Like, not good enough. Like, not learning lessons about losing to Philly on a fucking Tuesday night. Like, are you fucking serious? They're like, everyone is surprised. Yeah, Philly's gonna make the playoffs, but like, no one really saw that coming. They're like, you know, they're not gonna do any. I don't think Philly does anything in the playoffs.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter who it is. It's the whole lessons. That shouldn't be an issue anymore.
Like, no, but you, like you were saying, specifically against Philly on a Tuesday night, what are you talking about? Learning lessons?
That's what I'm saying.
It's crazy, man.
That's what I'm saying. I could see, you know, at the last year when you lost in the second round to Florida, to being like, look, you know, it was our first time getting past the first round and we had to learn a lesson. Oh, okay. I can swallow that.
Okay.
But when you're coming out after every game that you shit the bed, and I'm not talking about games you lose where you're in it. I'm talking about games like that, where you're just not ready to go and being like, oh, we got to start on time. We got to learn from this. I've had enough of that. Don't want to hear it anymore.
No. I don't think anybody does. But anyway, so I hope.
But then they were ready to go 24 hours later in Washington.
Yeah. Okay. Fair. Fair enough. Like, okay. So look, just to recap or quickly bow tie the Philly experience. I don't know. Like, I just can't believe how bad they looked in portions of that hockey game. Does that have anything to do with Mitch Marner, you think, or it's just whatever? The D pairs are just, it's just so sloppy all around. I thought Benoit was their best defenseman on Tuesday in Philly. I'll get to him later in the Washington game.
Okay, I was gonna say
not the best, but on Tuesday night he looked really good, and I thought Liljegren looked good as well. Still don't love Liljegren on the power play, but that it looks to me like Keith's just like throwing darts, like trying to get something that put something together that works. And like, yeah, I know they went in the next night and beat Washington, but Washington's not a world beater. If that was Boston or if that was Florida, they probably would have lost that game. Like, let's be serious. Yeah. So,
it depends on the team, because I find when they, like, Philadelphia plays them hard, and Philadelphia came out and they were playing the body, they were playing physical. The Leafs weren't ready. They knew that Philly was going to be ready to go. They knew what they were up against and they just weren't ready.
Tortorella.
But yeah, Washington. Yeah, Tortorella had them going.
Healthy scratch, says the captain. Eh?
That's what I'm saying. Like, could you imagine if Keefe did that to JT?
Well, it's no, but at times.
But I mean, it would put the team on edge, right? Like the team would be ready to go. It'd be like, I don't know. I knew it would get Philly going. I knew that Philly would come out flying, and the Leafs just weren't ready for it. And yeah, against Washington, okay, Washington, sure, you got to run and gun with Washington. Saturday they're playing Edmonton. It'll be the same thing. They'll play good because it's run and gun. But when they're up against a tough team,
yeah. Which is coming. That's what she said. See. But it is coming right around the corner. It's coming. Whether it's the Panthers or the Bruins, it's not. I mean, pick your poison.
It's not going to be easy.
No, it's not.
And there's no time for lessons.
No.
You got to go.
Like, he just needs to take that out of his vocabulary. It's absolutely
ridiculous. I can't believe the PR team or somebody doesn't take him to the side and be like, all right, listen, man, stop saying that we're learning lessons. Say something else.
They shouldn't even have to. He's a fucking veteran. He's the captain of the team. He should know that that's not what the fan base wants to hear in your post-game interview. Like, stop talking about it. Like, no. Just, oh, crazy. Anyway, whatever. We'll move past that. 4-3 loss. I thought it was 5-4. Anyway,
that's okay.
Brody. So we go to Washington here the next night, back to back, second of the back to back. Wall gets the start in net. More on that later. We're going to do a goalie segment. I want to talk about some of that stuff. But Brody, healthy scratch. Surprised by this, that he finally did it. Obviously, yes. It was absolutely necessary. All you got to do is look at proof's in the pudding. Look at his fucking play on the ice. Yeah, guy should have been sat down a long time ago, but yeah. he finally did it. What are your thoughts on the whole Brody situation? I guess we can touch on it a little bit after too, but
like, yeah, he deserved to be a healthy scratch. Like he deserved a rest. He deserved to just sit on the sidelines the way he had been playing. Am I surprised Keith did it? Absolutely. Yeah, he plays did. Brody in like all situations. Yeah. Like he leans on Brody so hard. That's what she said. So hard during the games. So for him, and you know how Keith is. Keith, he likes to have his tools that he uses all the time. He doesn't like to do this. So the fact that he healthy scratched Brody was huge.
Crazy, but
I think
really.
it was much needed. 100%. I think if anything else, like I didn't know this till after he got healthy scratched and they were talking about it, but they were breaking down like how he plays so many minutes and so many like hard minutes against top players and stuff. I didn't realize. Like, I knew that Keith relied on him a lot. I didn't realize how much Keith played him. Maybe he just needs this.
And he can't do time away. He can't play those hard minutes anymore.
Like, no, he's not the same player he was 4 years ago.
Okay, more on Brody after. Like, I want to get into Brody after the game.
I was shocked that Keith actually did it.
So was I. Long overdue, though, and I support it 100%. Timmins drew in, whatever. He was okay, whatever. All around better effort. More on Brody. Just stay tuned. We'll get a little bit more on Brody. All around better effort here, obviously. Like, again, the Caps aren't world beaters. Like, they might get a wild card spot. They might miss the playoffs, whatever.
You beat them 7-3.
Yeah, for sure. You go in there, like,
That's what you should do.
Of course, that's what you should do. Exactly. Like, a bubble team. Like, yeah, the Leafs should go in there and take it to them. So, I didn't love the overall. Like, I thought the defensive play was sloppy again, but there was a lot of good things offensively. Obviously, they put up 7 goals. Offensive explosion. Love to see that.
Yeah.
Wall finally gets back in. More on that in the goalie segment. But Matthews should have had another Hattie. Gets called back because Bertuzzi was offside. At least win at 7-3, whatever. Nothing really to, you know.
Have you ever seen a play where they do a coach's challenge for an offside and it's not called back?
Usually not, but like, are there, okay, for me, it's like, I hate this kind of stuff. I fucking hate it. I know they talk about this on Overdrive a lot and Hayes is in the ballpark of like, just get rid of it. I feel the same way, man. Like I would go back to, look, if the ref on the ice can't make the call, or if it's like, if it's literally like within inches.
And it had nothing to do with where Bertuzzi was, had nothing to do with the play.
Just
no one was on him. He didn't have the puck. He was way on the other side of the ice. And he just happened to be an inch over the blue line.
Why do you even employ linesmen? What's the point?
Yeah, like, was he offside? Absolutely. He was offside. And if you go by the book, then yeah, that's not a goal. But at the same time, if the ref didn't see it in real time and it didn't really affect anything. That happens all the time throughout the game.
Oh, my God.
In 100 plays.
Chad, how many games in the set, like the Gretzky era, whatever, the 80s, the 90s, how many plays were offside yet those goal totals?
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean?
Like, go watch some highlights of those Gretzky things. The guys will be 5 feet offside and the linesman will miss it and the goal will count.
Ovechkin would already have the goal, all-time goal record.
Yeah.
If they had that era replay in the 80s and 90s without a fucking doubt. Like there's just no doubt. Yeah. So anyway, whatever. Like it gets called back. That's okay, whatever. But just the rule.
But anyway,
I hate the rule. Get it. Do away with the offside rule. I hate it. Like, should some instant replay be
You can use coaches' challenges for, you know, goaltender interference and different things like that.
Did the puck actually go in? Did the puck cross the line? Yeah, I want to know that for sure or not.
Or use a coaches' challenge if the guy carrying the puck does something to go offside or someone in the play. But when it's when it's a guy on the other side of the ice that the linesman's not even really looking at, and it's a fraction over the blue line, it just crazy. But
this is what
we won't dwell on it. The guy who had the goal call back had a hell of a night.
He had a good night. But here's what I'll say: like, just last thing on this is like, if you're gonna video replay, you know, offsides and just basically everything, why not? Okay, the ref missed a call. Why can't you coach challenge that shit too? The guy from the booth is like, yeah, that was
a high stick for them.
Like, if you're gonna do this and this, but not this, just either do everything, review everything.
The guy gets his teeth knocked out from a high stick and the ref misses it. You should be able to be like, coach's challenge, go back and look at that.
It just doesn't make fucking sense, right?
No, like, it's only the linesman to get the shit.
I don't like the cherry picking of like, yeah, you can review this, you can coach it, coaches challenge this, but this you can't anyway, whatever. We'll get off.
And if they didn't score, the game would have continued on, and that no one would have ever known that was offside.
Of course not. 100%. 100%. Anyway, any real standouts in that game before we move on to some final topics here? Like anything that stood out for you? There are a couple things for me.
Yeah. Well, Austin Matthews was a beast.
Yeah.
He was a beast, and he got robbed of three goals. But having that goal taken back puts him on pace for 69 goals.
That's exactly. Perfect.
So absolutely. Maybe Washington was trying to do us a favor because we're rooting for 69.
That makes sense. I understand that now. A couple standouts.
Ahead. I just want to say also his line mate, Domi.
I was going to mention Domi.
Unbelievable.
Looked really sharp, right? Playing with Matthews. 4-6-9, I believe.
He's a great passer.
He's strong on the puck, like down low and whatever. Like, I don't love his defensive game, but it is what it is. But I like in the offensive zone, he's making plays happen. He's getting the puck to he'll go to the dirty areas or in the corners, bang one out. He'll bang one out in the corner and he'll get it to the front of the net. And
he'll bang more than one.
Yeah, well, exactly. And so we saw that several times last night against Washington. So I don't know. I guess I would say to you, like, what do you think when Mitch returns?
Oh, Mitch is going back up there.
Well, I know, but I'm talking about on the left side. When Mitch returns, does Domi get a look with Matthews and Marner here? And then that leaves the center ice position open. What are your thoughts on that whole situation?
Yeah, maybe. I don't think
he kind of deserves it. Do you not think?
Maybe he deserves a shot at it, but if he's going to be playing like that, I think you should spread the wealth and have him play on the second line with Willie, maybe.
But he doesn't seem to do this.
I know Austin's such an elite talent that if you have anyone who's a decent passer, it's just, and that's what Max is. Max is an incredible, like, he passes the puck incredibly. He's kind of like the Zach Hyman was on that line. Do you not think?
A little bit
digging, getting the puck, but a little better on the offensive side, like passing. Not so much shooting.
Not as good as Hyman, better than Bunting, and Knies is still trying to find his way. So,
but then you're going to have, I guess, if he's digging the puck out and both of them can feed Matthews, that might be a hell of a line. Like,
we'll get into this as the playoffs approach more, but then you might be looking at JT is back at the center or the second center spot, and then you got potentially Camp third and Doer fourth. I don't know. There's a way to make it work.
He's better.
He has, but he's also playing third line minutes. So I understand it. But I think Domi deserves a look when Marner returns. Let's see how those three look together. That's one thing Keefe has been reluctant to do all season. He has not put that line together. He has not. So I would just like to see Domi with Matthews and Mitch when Mitch returns. Give it a look. You got 14 games left. Let's give it a look and see how it looks. Anyway,
why not?
I thought Benoit was brutal in the Washington game. He was good in the Philly game, really good. Like, my favorite defenseman on the ice. But then in Philly, he couldn't do Washington, he couldn't do anything. Like, probably I would maybe pin it on like trying to do too much because Brody was out, or do you just off night? What do you think? Because we're Benoit fans here.
Yeah, I think it's, well, you're a big Benoit fan.
You don't like the way he's played this season. Come on.
Oh, I really like the way he's played this season, but I'm not going to put him on a pedestal as like
the greatest
defenseman ever.
But if you count Brody's bad nights compared to Benoit's bad nights, I mean,
okay, but play Benoit in Brody's position and see how Benoit does.
Yeah.
See how Benoit does facing top tier talent for 20 plus minutes a night and see how he does. Because last night he looked like he was going to shit his pants every time Ovechkin was near him.
He Yeah, not the best.
Yeah, in sheltered minutes, Benoit's great. But I think, yeah, last night he was a little out of his league.
Okay. Any other standouts or anything else on the Washington game, or we'll go to the Seggy?
Let's go to the segment.
All right, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Eagle's Nest.
Eddie the Eagle, great name.
And watch Belfort stick. Wow.
All right, Piggy. Come on out, Piggy.
And put it right up into his face there. And Belfort's not going to take that. Wham! Right there. He came up high. And here it comes. And the Eagle's all over it.
I bet you if you pop those jeans off, you're going to find a sweaty hog.
How in the world did he make that save?
He's pulling stuff now.
Wow.
All right, Piggy. Come on out, Piggy.
What better name than Eddie the Eagle?
All right, for those of you who don't know, most of you probably do, but I will explain it anyway. How the Eagle's Nest works is we're going to look at the goaltending on the Toronto Maple Leafs, and we're going to rate them. All right? There's three-tier ratings. There's sweaty hog, which means you've just been brutal. You know, probably should hit the bus, hit the showers, hit the AHL. Then there's still
Jerry Sparks.
I don't even know where Jerry Sparks is anymore. I think he's in Orlando. No, I don't think he's in Orlando anymore. Anyway, if anyone knows, leave a comment below. Then there's Stiff Hawk, which is like you're given solid goaltending, you know?
Yeah. Belfort when he used to play for the Hawks, man.
Yeah, that's a Stiff
Hawk. This segment is named after our favorite Leafs goaltender, Eddie Belfort, in case anybody didn't know that. The Eagle. And then the Eagle.
If you're playing out of your mind, it's Spread Eagle.
Spread Eagle.
But I mean, that's rare. We don't pick too many spread eagles.
No, there will be no spread eagles this evening. I will tell you that much. But here's what I will say, Chad, quickly. I think Joseph Woll has been getting the shit end of the stick since he returned from injury. There's absolutely no doubt about it. He comes back from the high ankle sprain. What does keeper do? Oh, yeah, we got two games this week against Boston. Yeah, let's give Woll both the games against the Bruins. Like, not even split them up again with one and one. Like, and then he hasn't played since then. So Woll let in 8 goals. He let in 4 goals each game when they played the Bruins. And then he hasn't played again in 2 weeks until last night when they played Washington. Like, was he, you know, did he stand on his head last night? Absolutely not. But did it look like there's something to build off of there in position? Like, you know, I think yes. Like, it looks like if you give this kid some more time in net down the stretch here, I think he'll find it again. Talking about Samsonov, he has given up 7 goals in his last 2 starts, and like the St. Paddy's Day start, and then in Philly he gave up 4 in the St. Paddy's game, and he gave up 3 in Philadelphia. He played good at times in both of those games, but also not good. Like, some goals go right through him again. So I don't know. For me, both goalies overall, I would have to say, I just think I can't really rate Woll because I think he got the shit end of the stick with those games against the Bruins, and then Keefe didn't play him again for 2 weeks. Samsonov, I just got to go with Stiff Hawk. I don't love Sammy's game. I think he swims a lot. He lets in some goals that shouldn't go in. And my overall thoughts before you graded is just too many pucks in the back of the net, period. Is that on the goalies alone? Obviously,
no.
Fucking not. But I can't really grade Woll here on this one, but I do want to see him get more action down the stretch. I don't want to just see Woll on the back end of back-to-backs. That's my thoughts on the goalies situation. You tell me what you think, Shaddy.
Yeah, well, I'm going to give Samsonov, I'm going to give them both a Stiff Hawk. That's my rating for Eagle's Nest. I don't think we've seen enough of Joseph Woll, but I'm going to throw a little twist in there. I think we need to see a little Martin Jones. I just want to say, I was looking at the stats today. Guess who's been their best 5-on-5 goalie who's played more games than Joseph Woll?
Yep.
Martin Jones.
Jonesy. It seems crazy to me. He's a veteran guy. He's got more playoff experience than Samsonov and Woll combined, but yet, like, they are reluctant or hesitant or whatever word you want to use to be like, it's got to be Woll. It's got to be Samsonov. There's no chance it can be Jones unless there's an injury. That seems a little crazy to me.
It does. I mean, I think Martin Jones started to tail off, but they were playing him like crazy because they had no other choice. They're playing him on back-to-backs or just overplaying him. And he's
now
sitting
be fresh as a daisy.
Yeah. So, yes. Do I want to see more Joseph Woll? Yeah, I think. But I think you should throw Martin Jones in the mix in the last, I wasn't for this, but after looking at it and being like, Jesus, this guy has the best goaltending stats on the team, and he's played more games than Joseph Woll this season. Throw him in the mix. Whoever is the hot hand, that's your guy for the playoffs.
I like that, Chad. I
one of those guys run with it.
I agree with everything you said there. I'd call that a little bit of analytics. A little bit of analytics.
A threesome analytic.
Hey, man, that's you're getting into some everything is stuffed.
When come you got and knock on my door.
Threesome of analytics. I like that. No holes left unfilled when you've got a threesome of analytics. I really like to see that. All right. Okay, so we'll move on. We'll see. So who gets the start, do you think, on it's a back-to-back, so they're both going to play. But where would you go Saturday against Edmonton? Where would you go Sunday against Carolina?
I'd probably go Woll against Edmonton, Samsonov against Carolina. You've been, like you said, you've been giving the Woll the back-to-backs. Maybe start him the first game and give
Samsonov. Both going to be difficult games. So I guess this, you know, it's going to be both teams. It's going to be hard, both those games. So
yeah. But I think Woll played, he got the win in Washington. He played pretty good. He played better than Samsonov played in Philly.
Yeah.
So I think he deserves to get the next start.
I agree with you. Does Sheldon Keefe? We will find out on the weekend. Where does the Brody situation go? Wind it down here. Last thing I got quickly. Well, I got one more thing after this, but it won't be long. Where does the Brody thing go from here? Finally healthy scratch, but you put much stock into that? Or where do you see this Brody situation ending up?
I think with the healthy scratch, like he's going to get back in the lineup. This isn't doing whatever.
How would you play it? How would you play this situation?
Well, I think that's what they're doing now. I think finally Keith stepped back and said, okay, like I've got to do something here. He hasn't looked good all season. He said that in his post-game press conference about scratching TJ Brody. Like he admitted all season he's struggled. I think he's going to give him a little rest, a little break, watch from the press box. And now I think he's going to dial back his minutes and dial back where he plays in the lineup. Like maybe he'll do less PK, less against top lines, things like that. That's what I think is going to happen.
Don't you?
But it is Sheldon Keefe, and he does love to play the shit out of the people that he likes. So we'll see.
Don't you think a nice follow-up question when Keefe was answering, you know, he admitted that he has struggled this season and blah, blah, blah. Don't you think a nice follow-up question to that would have been like, well, why did it take so long? Like, why did you wait until now to take him out? Like, because
nobody asked it. Nobody, everybody said that. Like afterwards, all the people who, you know, talk about the Leafs are like, all right, so you waited 70 games. Like you knew all season he wasn't playing well and you didn't dial back his minutes or give him a break in 70 games. But nobody asked at the press conference.
I have a feeling, I'll tell you what I think is going to happen, and I'll tell you what I would do. I think he gets back in as early as this weekend.
Oh, yeah, he's going to play the next game.
Now, I wouldn't do that personally. What's the rush? What's the rush? I don't see, is one game, for 70-game sample size?
Because it's Keefe.
You could count on one hand how many good games Brody's had this year. I know that. But for me, I want this guy to find something, like do some deep soul searching here so that when the playoffs come around, we can count on this guy. Because right now, and I said in previous podcasts, he is going to cost this team significantly in the playoffs. What is the fucking rush? There's 14 games left. Do you not maybe do a little Samsonov treatment where like you don't have to send him to the Marlies, but take a fucking week off, figure some shit out mentally, you know, try to find the guy that you used to be. That's what I would do. That's what I would do. But will he probably be in the lineup on Saturday? Probably.
Yeah, so, he will.
But do you agree with that? Like, do you know, like, what is the rush here?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I totally agree that he needs to step back and work on some things. But I know Sheldon Keefe, and I know coaches and how they treat veteran players. And this is a one-off. Like, I don't even know if Keefe was 100% on board to healthy scratch him. I think he probably had people above him telling him to like do this, but as soon as he's going to put him back in the lineup, that's how he is. He loves his veteran guys. He loves Brody. He plays the shit out of Brody.
Yeah.
I don't think he can go that long without having him in the lineup. He wants him in the lineup.
I agree. I don't think one game is enough. I don't think Brody is a tree living.
Sure.
Like, we're watching the end of TJ Brody in Toronto here without a doubt. Like this, yeah. He doesn't have a contract after this season and he's not a tree living guy. Tree living was the GM in Calgary when he let him walk. He's like at 5 million. Yeah, no, I don't think so. See ya.
Yeah. So we're saying that, but like, we're not the ones with the scorecard, right? That's no. Sheldon Keefe gets to pick who's in the lineup.
Yeah, for sure. No, but you said maybe it came down from above or something of like, you got to take this guy out or whatever.
Well,
like,
that's why the whole waiting 70 games just didn't, like, Keefe's not an idiot. Like, why did he wait so long? I think finally someone came from above and said, hey, you got to do something.
Sit him down. Yeah.
Yeah. Or Brody said something. I don't know.
Oh, maybe. Anyway, okay, so leave your thoughts down below, guys. Love to, if you're watching on YouTube, would love to hear what you think about the Brody situation. Like, you know, I'd be more than fine with keeping him out for a little bit longer, kind of getting him refreshed and all that. Last thing, Chad, and then throw up some comments and we'll bounce here if you want. Last thing, 14 games left. Looks like their position in the standings is all but fucking said and done. Third spot in the Atlantic, it'll be the Panthers or the Bruins, if you know, and let barring something crazy happening here, I'll just give the final thought to you. But I just want to see in these remaining 14 games, hopefully Mitch comes back. Obviously, well, he will. Mitch will be back, but the high ankle sprain, a little concerning, but hopefully
that ankle sprain.
I know I can't speak tonight, but anyway, it's all right. But I just want to see them like down the stretch here, the remaining 14 games after Saturday against Edmonton. Every single game is against an Eastern Conference opponent, a couple against the Lightning, a couple against Florida. Should be very interesting. But all I really want to see here is for them to get things figured out. That's it. Down the stretch, I'm talking about get some set D pairs and maybe give it a different look and get your forward lines set for the playoffs. I don't want to see him, like, I know it's tough with Mitch out and Yarncroc and whatever, but like, I just don't want to see a different fucking lineup every fucking night. I would like to see here we go. Like, we'll be down to 10 games in no time. So like, I just want to see things get some set lines and some set D pairs so that they're hopefully feeling good going into the playoffs. Final thoughts to you on that.
Yeah, I'm on board. I just want to see them, like, I want to see them get things going, but I want to see them gear up. I don't want to see them float into the playoffs being like, well, we're third place, so let's just stay healthy and we'll get to the playoffs. I want to see them.
That might be tough.
They do that every year. I want to see this team like flying. I want to see the power play going. I want to see the penalty kill going. I want to see four lines that Keefe trusts. I want to see D pairs that he knows, and I want to see a goalie ready to go. And we got 14 games to see it. Now let's get
just last thing, and none of those things. So with 14 games to go, none of those things are set in motion. Not
hey,
one.
We got 14 games. We got a few weeks to get her.
Man.
So let's see. Let's throw up some comments here.
All right.
Spike says, lessons again. That's why I don't listen to post game press conferences. Absolutely.
It's frustrating.
Absolutely.
If they just came out and told the truth though, like, I would appreciate that for once.
Oh, for sure. Look at this name. Paul Marimutu.
Love it. Love it.
If I've ever heard one, that's for sure. He said, now you two lost me with the playing Jones nonsense. Come on. Maybe you're thinking too much about 69.
No, I think Chad, you were bang. I like the Jones thing. Like, I'm not against it.
Jones has played really well this year.
Sure.
And like this guy says, Denny Rodriguez, another porn star name. That's amazing. He said, no number one goalie, two number twos. It's kind of true. Like, there's no legit, I wouldn't say two number twos. I would say, you know, you got 1A, 1B kind of thing.
Either one
could be the starter.
I want to see Wall be the guy because I think he's the future here, not Samsonov. They're not re-signing Samsonov. So it doesn't make any sense for me. Like, it's got to be Wall in the playoffs. I don't know. We'll see. Those are my thoughts. Wall's the future here, not Samsonov. So we'll see.
Yep. That's all the comments I got. Just shout out to our buddy, Brian. He says, hey, boys. Hey, Brian. Anyway, for the Tip In Maple Leafs podcast, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Tip In Maple Leafs Podcast, Tip In Podcast on TikTok, Tip In Pod on Twitter. Email us tipinpodcast@gmail.com. And until next time, I'm Chad.
I'm Dale.
We will.
Back-to-back this weekend. Another back-to-back against the Edmonton Oilers on Saturday, the Carolina Hurricanes. Rod the Bod Brind'Amour and the Carolina Hurricanes on Sunday. Chad and I will be back after the Hurricanes game Sunday night, 6 p.m. start. Why don't you come and join us then? Thanks for watching, guys. Thanks for listening. Please like this video on YouTube. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Go Leafs, go. Catch you later.
Catch you later.